T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Our fourth and final hour begins with a little name game that we're about to play, and we aren't playing for just a couple tickets to go see a concert at the Fillmore or anything like that. By the way, going to concert.
Great place.
The Fillmore is awesome. I'm not trying to denigrate the Fillmore. As a matter of fact, I'd rather see anything at the Fillmore, then down at Levi's Stadium, unless, of course, it was a huge Rolling Stones stadium tour. Yes, the Rolling Stones will be bringing their hugely successful no-filter tour to stadiums in 13 cities across America in 2019, including Santa Clara, on August 18th, 2019. Mick, Keith, Charlie, Ronnie, back out on the road. Sold out stadiums all over the world, and we've got a pair of tickets up for grabs right now with a name game. No clues today. Shouldn't need that many. Or maybe you do. Maybe you've been paying attention. Maybe you haven't been. But here's the deal. We're asking for somebody in the world of sports with two first names. We're going to ask you to go through a process of elimination with yes or no questions. You hear a yes, you get a guess or another shot. You get a no, 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 and you're going to hear a dial tone. Let's officially do it. When a player drops a line, 888-957-9570 to hop on it. Good luck to everyone for Rolling Stones tickets. Let's play the name game.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
the name game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We begin with Beverly in Berkeley. It's always tough to be first up. It's usually a sacrificial position. But, Beverly, I will wish you luck. What is your question?
Did he play basketball?
Yes, he did.
Is he a legend?
No, he is not. Thank you very, very much for your call. By the way, did makes it sound like past tense. I'll give everyone a break. It's a does. Gloria. Gloria in San Francisco. What is your yes or no question?
Did he play for the Warriors?
Yes.
So do I give you the answer?
You can ask another question or you can take your guess.
Okay, let me take my guess. Rick Barry?
No, thank you. Again, the clue that the previous caller asked when she said, is it a legend? I said no, which automatically eliminated Rick Barry. Again, string some of these calls and clues together. It only gets easier. 888-957-9570 to hop on that line. John in Petaluma, you're playing the name game. What do you got?
Oh, you lost me on the Warriors. I was going to say Brent Barry.
You would have been wrong. Do you have a yes or no question? John, once, twice, thrice. My God. That's it. That's the biggest belly flop in the history of the game.
I had an answer that's definitely wrong. What should I do?
Let's go to Pete in San Francisco. Pete, what is your question?
Oh, man. You know what? My question was going to be, does he play for OKC, man? But you lost me with Warriors.
So you have no follow-up Warrior questions. God, Pete. I'm disappointed for you. 888-957-9570. I don't understand what the hell is happening at all. These are for Rolling Stones tickets. Good luck to all of you. Steve, Oakland, what is your question?
Is he on the current roster?
Oof. No.
Credit for the question.
Good question.
That really, really narrows it down a touch. Thank you very much for the sacrificial question. Tom and Arinda. Tom, yes or no question. What do you got?
Is he a football player?
No, Tom. Good Lord. Jared Fairfield. Jared, what do you got?
I got the answer.
Okay.
Hello?
What do you got?
Is it Damian Lee?
Hey! Oh, my God. Congratulations, Jared. You're going to go see the Rolling Stones. I'm going to put you on hold. Albie is going to get your information. You are going to Levi's Stadium on August 18th. Rolling Stones tickets are yours, Jared and Fairfield. Congratulations, Damian Lee. Someone's like, Patrick McCaw. Have you ever heard anyone named McCaw? This is my daughter, Jill, and my son, McCaw. Although we did have a Falcon on the show recently, so, I mean, McCaw can't be that far away.
It's a fair point. The texter has this right. Obviously, the people who want Stones tickets are stoned out of their gourds right now.
Oh, yeah, only people over the age of 50 smoke weed? Come on.
the subset of Stones fans.
Yes. So there you go. Another gangbuster name game, if there ever was one.
Damon, I had an answer. Okay.
I can't believe you get that close to a yes or no question. You only have one in mind. So you know that at any point in time, the first caller could ask the question you were going to ask. So you figured you'd have another arrow in your quiver.
Right.
Or not just to mention, let's say you ask a question and it's correct, and then you're looking for more information, you should have a follow-up. Like, I'm not saying that you have to be as prepared as a prosecutor, as a lawyer, but you should walk into the courtroom with a little bit of a strategy.
Yes.
Well, a briefcase at the very least.
A briefcase. Yes. Bring materials.
Damon, who's the Rolling Stones? Oh, that's a good congratulations. Let's get that person tickets too. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Just to clarify for people, he's not on the roster because he's a two-way player, which means he's not available to them. He's under team control, but not on the roster.
He's not on the roster the way that Barry Zito was a San Francisco Giant when he was left off the World Series roster.
Right.
Sure, he was a Giant, but he wasn't on the roster.
And with two-way players, you have to actually buy their contracts and make them full NBA players to get them on your playoff roster. That's what they did with Quinn Cook 2 years ago.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct. Mike Breen, who calls the NBA on ABC, will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the fact that Mike has a night to work in Oakland tomorrow. We're so excited that we get to go back to Oakland tomorrow. One last dance at Oracle Arena. I absolutely love it. I don't want to start talking about the dynasty as if it is over. Because, okay, could the Warriors win two games? The answer is yes. I've seen them do that an awful lot in the last 5 years, winning two games. Forgetting the circumstances, under any circumstances, it is not a huge stretch to assume the Warriors can win their next two games against anybody, no matter who it is. Two different teams, the same team twice. It really doesn't matter. Warriors can, of course, win two more games. Is it going to be tough? Yeah, it's going to be a grind. There's no doubt. Win or lose. I have a question for you at 888-957-9570 that's going to get us down to the bottom of the hour, and I'd love to hear from you, Warriors fans. Win or lose, what do you think has been the most underrated portion of this dynasty? We know what the major players are. We know what the headliners, who they have been. To me, I think it's more than anything else. Like, when I think about the underrated parts of this dynasty, the first thing that I think of is that the lack of drama from any individual player in this entire run is unpredictable as Steph Curry going from Davidson to the greatest shooter of all time. I mean, who could have seen 5 years of roster turnovers, guys coming in who are, you know, good citizens, guys who coming in who've got some bad reputations. No one, No one ever got out of line. No one ever got arrested. No one ever embarrassed the team publicly. No one. Over and over and over again. 5 years of any NBA stretch to have no incidences from your locker room is pretty amazing. And then the fact that, you know, a team in this bright a spotlight has got the amount of scrutiny on it that it does, and they still didn't get you. Like, they were looking to crucify you, and they still couldn't because you didn't do anything wrong once. Man to man, basically. Like, you know, success can be as crippling as failure at times, and this team has managed its success in something a way that is definitely underrated and unappreciated.
Just to correct the record, there was an arrest once.
Yeah, Draymond got arrested once, but nothing really came of it.
All right, but you know what? I'm good with that. I can live. Okay. I can live. Yeah. Saginaw is safe tonight.
To me, I wonder sometimes if the lack of real issue is why we've had to deal with all of the overreported drama. Like, if there was a, excuse the reference, but he's on my mind for obvious reasons, if there was an Alden Smith on this team, maybe we wouldn't have all the breathless reporting of what people think KD might do in several months.
No.
All right.
I don't want this to sound dismissive, but this is almost entirely a function of the way the NBA is now covered. And part of that is because players have far more control over their futures than ever before. And that means that we're not talking about this general manager should have done this rather than that. It's about what great player wants to go somewhere else and be a great player. And because the NBA and because basketball is more a sport about soloists than any other sport, that makes the attention that they gain and garner and hold all the brighter at a time when there are more media outlets than ever. They all operate 24/7. And for as many games as these guys play, there aren't enough games to feed the beast. I think it's entirely that.
That may be true, but if that is true, all the more impressive that none of these guys have gotten into much trouble.
Well,
that,
because
the level of scrutiny that's on the NBA and them specifically, it you know, it's the same thing I say about LeBron a lot. Here's a kid that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 and has pretty much lived up to and exceeded every expectation set for him since then.
More than any other athlete of my lifetime.
It's remarkable.
He has fulfilled the promise more than anyone.
And I think the Warriors have been similar in some ways. That, like, the promise that we saw in this, they exceeded it at the beginning because very few people saw that. And when Durant was added, they have fulfilled every promise that was made.
Okay, and we got a whole bunch of reaction on the text line, and people are bringing up, like, hey, what about the Schmecky pick that Draymond tweeted out? Like, really? Like, that's the low point?
That's kind of the point.
Of 5 years, you got a crank pick, and that is, like, someone's like, what about the one time he was speeding 100? A speeding ticket? A speeding ticket! That is the, you're like, you were so disturbed by the speeding ticket that you had to text me about that to submit it as, well, you know, not everything's great around here. We did get that Draymond speeding ticket.
I was only correcting you that there were no arrests.
Right, you were, and I appreciate that. Okay. But again, a punch on a college campus, I can live with that.
Well, I'm glad you can. You weren't the one who got punched.
I would have taken it like a man.
Guy asked for
it. Oh, you'd have taken it like a 9-year-old.
I heard that guy was asking for it.
No, yeah. The greater point is this. The tone of the room was set by the people they brought in to start their careers there.
Yeah.
Curry, Thompson, Green to a more or less extent, and the fourth guy, the first free agent, was Andre Iguodala, who, frankly, doesn't plan to get arrested because it would get in the way of his golf.
You're right.
So, you know, I mean, it's player behavior is based on what the players choose to do in large part. And one of the things that winning does is it allows you to stay focused on what you can get through winning that you don't need to get by being out at 3:30 in the morning and getting into argument with a policeman's horse. I mean, it's the nature of who they got. It's the nature of the success they had.
Buttercup.
And it's just basically, good people choosing to do not bad things.
Good people. I mean, I think that we talk about it fairly regularly because they talk about it sometimes. But, yeah, the decent dudes tend to get along with other decent dudes and tend to be decent out in the world. And so if you build a team of decent dudes, you're less likely to have issues.
Well, and it's not just the guys at the top of the marquee that have benefited from, you know, the collective environment that is the Golden State Warriors. I mean, think about it. We got knuckleheads of all sizes and types coming into the situation, and you have guys totally rebuilding their own reputations, you know, from Nick Young to JaVale McGee, to an extent DeMarcus Cousins, to a much lesser extent of the problem child reputation, but certainly revive their careers and redefine their veteran status. I mean, I'm looking at you, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. You had guys like Mo Spates, Leandro Barbosa, Matt Barnes, total also-rans, redefine themselves with the Golden State Warriors. David West, like, he goes, you know, David West had a ton of respect coming in, but he gets to go down in the, like, locker leadership Hall of Fame now. Everyone got better. Everyone who touched the Warriors and who the Warriors touched got better. And that's really an amazing trend over 5 years. It's not a small sample size.
Yeah, I would suggest that the one guy who, quote, didn't get better was West, because he already came in with all that cachet.
Right. He walked away a champion, right?
He gave more than he got.
Totally disagree. He walked away a champion.
Okay, but in terms of what he brought in, it's something that they desperately needed at a time when things could have started to fray.
On and off the floor, but I think that's an even trade, and I think he made that trade knowingly.
You can argue whether it's an even trade or not. The point is, I don't know that you can say that David West was somehow made a better guy or...
No, but it cemented a reputation that everyone knew was a fact.
Yeah, people in the NBA knew what a quality guy he was.
Sure.
But casual fans got to know it, too.
And it went from David West, quality guy, to David West, NBA champion. And that's why he came.
Real quick, we're going to take some calls, and then we're going to get to Mike Breen here on 95.7 The Game.
What the hell with Mike Breen?
Big Damon in Napa. What, does that make me Little Damon? Hey, Big Damon, what do you got?
Man, I just want to say how grateful I am to Tim Roy. I mean, he's one of the best in the business. I'm a truck driver. I'm actually on the road right now. I listened to the last game from start to finish. He brought it to life. It was as if I was watching it on TV, which I don't like watching on TV because I can't stand the commentators on TV. So don't take for granted what we have in Tim Roy. And Barnett did a great job on the last game. What do you? And I know you've praised him before, Damon.
Oh, Big Damon, I love me some Tim Roy. I really do. And I don't make a lot of guarantees, but I'll make you this one right now. Tim Roy's career ends with a Hall of Fame speech one day. That's a Hall of Fame broadcaster we're listening to. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I'm wondering when the country's going to catch up with the appreciation. That's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. I love Tim Roy.
You don't get...
He was great when they stunk.
Exactly.
You don't get the same celebration of radio basketball play-by-play men that you do of baseball radio play-by-play
men. The romance isn't there. The history's not there.
But what Tim does, mostly alone, is one of the hardest. I mean, I think hockey on the radio is the only thing harder. To try to accurately and ongoingly and actively paint a picture in people's head of what's happening with 10 incredible athletes moving all at once on a basketball floor is basically impossible.
With no dead time in between
plays.
No
dead time. He is unbelievably good at it.
The one thing that I will say that makes
this
me
is
wonder,
an insult of Tim Roy.
No, it's not an insult of Tim Roy. It's that most of the local team broadcasters currently in the Hall of Fame are guys who've done 40 years plus.
Give him time.
I'm saying that, you know, in an era in which guys get thrown over every 3 years because they're not selling enough T-shirts. He's one guy that might get those 40 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all. It wasn't an insult at all. I'm just saying that that's usually an award for longevity. And, in fact, I'm still not sure if he knows whether his record as an NBA broadcaster is 500 yet.
By the way, the text line says, Kolsky, I heard that buttercup under your breath. And you know what? I did, too. And nice job.
I do this for the 4 to 7 people who hear me and laugh.
It was a diabetic. This is Josh and Hayward, most underrated aspect of this dynasty. Josh?
Oh, man, thanks, guys, for getting me on the call, guys. I think there's two things that I say that are underestimated and had a huge impact. I think you hit on one was getting Iggy. That was a huge thing. Iggy at the time was still an all-star level player, and he kind of was definitely the glue. But one thing I tell my buddies this, I tell fans this all the time, and I definitely wanted to go on the radio and share this and just say, Mark Jackson, man. Mark Jackson, without Mark Jackson and him instilling confidence in Steph and Clay and giving them the green light to really be who they are today, the Warriors wouldn't be who they are without him. So,
and the defense, too.
Yeah, Josh, if we were giving away a prize, you might have the best answer to the question because he's not appreciated an awful lot, and he was the step that began it all.
He was instrumental. He was instrumental to turning this around.
He changed the culture. He made them defense responsible. And if he could have been better politically with those above him, he might still have the job.
Steve in Danville, thank you for the call, Steve. Most underrated aspect of the franchise.
I'm going to go a little sideways or off track here. I think the people we're going to see tomorrow night for the last time at Oracle, the people who work there, how great are they? And I hope they celebrate them tomorrow night. You know, they've known for, what, 2 or 3 years that the team's moving and they hang in there every night and they're beautiful people. If you've been to games, you know, they treat you well. I think they're just great. And I hope some of them move over there, but the others, I hope they land nicely.
Steve, I just want to point out one guy because there's just one guy that I have said to every single game. And he's the guy who always tosses the ball to Steph for the tunnel shot, yeah. Curtis.
Yep.
Curtis, the security guard, who always works the entryway that the Warriors come out of their tunnel through and is right by the Warriors' benches, is literally part of my NBA life. I have said hello to Curtis before every NBA game I've ever been credentialed in Oakland to cover, and he has been there without fail every single game. The man is impervious to illness. He is never sick. He is always there. And Curtis is emblematic of so many recognizable and wonderful ushers, game night employees.
While we're doing this, can I quickly give shouts to my guy Walter, who I have said hello to at almost every game that I've been to as a credentialed media member who works security right up above where Tim and the radio folks sit. So back in the day when I was doing post-game shows live from the arena, Walter and I would be there till midnight, and we'd be the only two people in the building by the end of it.
We know that Alan's going to come by and say hello to us tomorrow. Alan, who has been taking tickets at the Coliseum and at Oracle for like 30 years. I already know we're going to talk to him tomorrow. It's guaranteed.
Well, and when you're there with Ray, everybody comes and says hello.
No, people stay away as though I were dipped in anthrax.
We know your thing, Ray, but it's a lie. Literally everyone who works there comes up and is like, hey, Ray. And Ray's like, oh, yes, you that I know also. And it's a cool thing, man. It's not going to be like that.
I'm sorry. I can't accept that.
You're doing great, Ray.
The truth is,
still 2-0, by the way.
The truth is, he's nicer than most people think, but he hates that even more than the original premise of him being nice.
Then don't bring it up.
There you go. Then we
see how
again.
Easy that was?
Mike Breen. He's a nice guy. He's joining us next because he's going to call the game tomorrow night on ABC. Game 6 at Oracle Arena. Yes, 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 yes. Right now, Matt Kulski to let you know what's coming up. Actually, there's nothing else coming up after Mike Breen on this show, but there is another program.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Mike Breen is the voice of the NBA on ABC. He's got another call. Game 6 is at Oracle tomorrow night. Mike, thank you so much for joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. I've got Ray Ratto and Matt Kulski along with me, and we're very happy to welcome you back to the Bay Area. I wasn't sure that was going to happen, but here we go.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Damon, I have to correct you. I've been on this crusade to stop. I mean, I appreciate you saying the voice of the NBA, but like I always keep saying, for Warrior fans, the voice of the NBA is Bob and Tim. For Toronto, it's Matt Devlin. For other announcers, you know, that's who the voice of the NBA is. I just happen to be privileged to be one of the voices, but not to be a stickler on that. But I feel strongly about that as having been a voice of a certain team for a long time. Those guys are as much a voice of the NBA as anybody.
Only a true gentleman guts his own introduction. Thank you, Mike. obviously, we were talking to Tim Roy yesterday. His call in Game 5 was fantastic. Listen to him. He sets it up for you.
Leonard, right side, stops. Feeds VanVleet. VanVleet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry, it's blocked by Draymond. The game's over!
The game is over. The Warriors have won. 106-105. Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance.
One more dance, Mike Breen. One more.
Oh, I love it. That's a great call from a great announcer. Tim and I have been buddies for a long time. He's so good. And that game the other night was, you know, we've done game sevens. We've all done big games. But that was one of the most memorable nights I think I've ever had in I think I'm doing this like 28 years now.
So you talk about a memorable night. And just in general, this series, Mike, has been, I think memorable might be the best word, but another one that jumps to mind is weird. That it doesn't seem to have developed a consistent narrative at all. The injuries have thrown it into upheaval. Is this about the weirdest final series you've been on the call for?
Yes. I mean, so many bizarre things happening that have nothing to do with basketball, storylines that are just so compelling. And then when you take into account, you know, what this championship for either team, what it means for them going forward with star players. It's just, it has so many different storylines that I find riveting. To me, it's been one of the more interesting finals because there's so many different things to talk about night in and night out. You know, when I prepare and the crew prepares with Jeff and Mark and our production team, you know, we have certain things we want to get in. Half the time you can't get them in because all these unusual, unique things are happening in the series that you don't have time to get everything in.
What is your sense of the way game sixes tend to play out? I'm throwing this series out because, as we all said, it's just madness on shoes. But in general, what do you look for when you're prepping out a game six? Because clearly one team's in position to close. The other one is a surprise win away from seven. How do you sort of frame that in general? And if you can do it, can you compare what you would have to do for tomorrow's game with any of the other game sixes you've had?
Well, it obviously it all depends on the makeup of the teams that are playing. You know, if it's different for a team that has been there in terms of what you would look for than for a team that hasn't been. And even though Toronto hasn't been, it's their first finals, they have a couple of key players who have won championships. So that's a big part of it as well. You know, in the playoffs, what I find is the team that loses the previous game usually comes out with more desperation. And so, you know, Toronto is going to come out with desperation. They are hurting from what happened. That's a game that they had, and they weren't able to close it out. Not only a game, but a possible championship. So they're going to be ornery. They've moved past it, but they're going to come out with desperation. The thing is, what I'm going to look for is, yeah, they're desperation, but they still know they have that home game seven in their back pocket. So how do they start the game? We've seen Golden State start each of the last two games with that desperation and come out like gangbusters. So just little different things like that. But I think at this point, the series has been so unpredictable. I mean, the home team's 1-4. It just, you fight all season long to get home court advantage, and the road team keeps winning in the NBA Finals. So it really is one of the more unpredictable series from my standpoint.
Mike Breen here on 95.7 The Game. All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. The decision to play Kevin Durant is obviously a fork in the road for the Warriors, this series, the NBA's offseason, next several seasons. It's a major, major moment in NBA history, not just in the history of this series. Mike, as you watched it all unfold, did you attach any element of malpractice or poor decision-making to anyone in the process?
No, I can't imagine, guys, how, you know, that they had any thought that, you know, they're not, there's no way they're going to let him play the game if they thought there was any chance that was going to happen. Now you can say, well, there's always a chance. Well, there's a chance for every player who goes out there that he could damage his Achilles. You know, in hindsight, was it a bad decision? It's hard to tell without knowing all the details, what the doctors know, without seeing the MRIs and the x-rays. Did they make a mistake? Again, it's hard to tell because we just don't have all the information. But what I so strongly believe is that there's no way anyone in that organization is sending him out there unless they felt that he was going to be fine. Yeah, was his calf sore? Maybe could he re-injure the calf? But other than that, I just don't think that. And we have all the time in NBA games. Sometimes injuries are just horrible bad luck. And it's a shame that we have to go into this and do the blame game. And I know it. I understand it. And there are reasonable questions to be asked. But you can't convince me that anybody with the Golden State organization didn't have anything but his best intentions in mind. And Kevin obviously, too, wanted to play and felt he was ready to go as well.
And in terms of slugging it out, what do you think of Kevon Looney, who was clearly in pain out there?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a player who you could tell every step was laborious for him. He was really hurting, so visibly hurting. Like I said, I don't know if I've ever seen the respect that he has in that locker room for doing that, because that's clearly something that it's, if you can stick with the pain, you're okay. And again, it's just another story in so many of these. I mean, so many guys have been banged up. There's nobody who's feeling 100% right now. But to see what Looney is doing is it's inspiring.
And the first thing he says after the game is, yeah, I'm planning to play on Thursday. It seems insane. I want to quickly to jump back to KD. A lot of discussion, putting aside the blame game stuff, which I think we're with you on, a lot of discussion about the fan reaction. And if I'm not mistaken, you commented on it on the broadcast. So just being in the arena versus us watching it on TV, how did you view the way Toronto fans reacted to the injury?
First off, I was shocked. Their fans have been truly amazing. The city is just, it's so warm and welcoming. The fans have been great. They obviously love their team. And they've never been the type of team or fans that have done that in all the years that I've been going there. But they clearly responded inappropriately. And it wasn't like it was just, you know, a handful of fans. There was a big roar and a cheer twice from the fans. First when he went down, okay. But then when you get up and you could see that he had severely injured himself, that was disturbing. And one of the things that I was blown away by is the Raptor players, not the Warrior players, the Raptor players letting the fans right away, scolding them like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? This is a competitor. He's one of our brothers. You can't be doing that. And they recovered and responded the right way by chanting KD, KD. But initially, it was really disappointing to hear.
Mike, as you said, we are spoiled by the dulcet tones of Tim Roy. I think it's very appropriate that we have you in the building tomorrow night to describe what will be the last Warriors game ever played in Oakland. How much of a swan song do you plan on sending that building out on tomorrow night?
Well, we did quite a bit of it in game four, and I'm still blown away that they lost two games. I'm so happy that there's another one there. It's really one of the great buildings that I've been in. The fans are just, they're incredible. You guys know it better than I do, for crying out loud. But it's been one of the special places to broadcast just because of the atmosphere. And these last 5 years, as somebody who loves team basketball and obviously basketball played on a high level, it's been the greatest show on earth over the last 5 years in that building.
Mike, thank you very much. You have called an awful lot of the memories in this great run, and we thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night one last time at Oracle.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
A gentleman and a scholar, and not the lead voice of the NBA on ABC, pardon me. He's just a man, Mike Breen, here on 95.7 The Game. We've got one more segment left. We're going to come back and take a dip into Berkeley, and we're going to take a dip into history. Make sure you stick around for a little dip with us here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Final segment this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky back here on the Damon Bruce Show. And look, we have been knee-deep in Warriors. We just talked with Mike Breen. Great conversation with him. We're very excited that he's going to be at Oracle Arena. We will be at Oracle Arena tomorrow night for Game 6. Cannot wait. Hopefully we get a great send-off. We want to send you off with a couple of things we haven't gotten to today. Gentlemen, couple of Cal notes. How often do we end a show with Cal notes?
Never.
Lindsay Gottlieb made a little history today. She is going to join John Beilein's staff with the Cleveland Cavaliers. John Beilein left Michigan in Ann Arbor to pursue an NBA opportunity with Cleveland. And Lindsay Gottlieb
today became the first ever active women's college coach to be elevated to an NBA job. I believe is the first women's coach in any sport to be elevated to a professional job coaching a men's team. So a watershed day. Roll on, you Bears. Lindsey Gottlieb.
Well, Becky Hammon.
She wasn't a college head coach.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, at this point, it's kind of a fine distinction. I mean, the fact that she was chosen by an NBA coach said, I want what you have specifically, not just I want to fill a spot.
Well, but also John Beilein specifically, a guy who's known as one of the most, you know, exo-intelligent type of dudes, a guy who really has a super well-respected basketball teaching acumen, to pick Lindsey Gottlieb as here's someone who can bring something to the table that other people can't, it says a lot about what she's done.
Look, with Lindsey Gottlieb getting this promotion, I very much wonder if Greg Popovich looks at Becky Hammond as someone that he's grooming to replace him one day.
There's no way of knowing, one, because Greg Popovich doesn't share, and two, because it's really hard to become a head coach unless you've sat in the number one assistant's chair. And she hasn't done that yet. And it's got nothing to do with her ability. But
it is like a line, basically.
Oh, it's not even a line. It's just, you know, every coach is grooming all his assistants, you know, in different ways and different skills. I'm just saying that if you look back through the history of hirings, and I realize that, you know, that this is loaded because so much of hiring has always been sort of nepotism based, but it's really hard to take somebody who has not been in a number one chair before. Steve Kerr is a rare exception. Mark Jackson was a rare exception, but
pretty much only former players are the exception to that rule.
Exactly. This is somebody who's cut her teeth in coaching, and now, you know, she's learned a lot in San Antonio. When she does get that head coaching job, she's going to be as well prepared as any human being can be. But there, I think in coaching, there's that intermediate step of, you know, are you first assistant? Are you the second clipboard?
Well, congratulations either way to Lindsey Gottlieb. And, you know, more progress coming out of Berkeley kind of goes hand in hand. Speaking of progress in Berkeley, Aaron Rodgers made a seven-figure gift to the Cal football program to renovate the locker room and help create the Aaron Rodgers Football Scholarship, which is going to go to a JUCO player, which being, you know, he came from Butte College. Pretty cool that Aaron Rodgers makes a very nice gift back to the Cal football program, a football program that could use all the gifts you can send it, to be totally honest with you. Guys, one last thing to wrap up today, and I know we have very little time. This is quite a complex story to say for the last 90 seconds of today's show. Today is the 25-year anniversary of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman being murdered, June 12th, 1994. Of course, the famous, the iconic slow car chase of the white Bronco would happen a week later on June 17th. And that really, well, 5 days later, really. And that's really the day that feels like this all started. But today is the day, was the day of the actual murders 25 years ago. I'll tell you that 25 years officially has passed quickly. And I saw Ron Goldman's father today, you know, doing the talk show circuit. Do you realize he still has the Snidely Whiplash mustache? He has rocked that thing for the better part of 25 years. That's impressive.
The commitment is impressive. I'll say this. This is not a lot of varying takes on the O.J. Simpson situation, but if you have not watched the six-part ESPN, I forget what it was called now, but sort of O.J. and the 70s, 80s, 90s
You're
documentary.
The rules of God, O.J. That documentary.
It's excellent.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's definitive is what it is. You watch that, you're done watching it. You don't need to know another thing because there is nothing else to glean. I mean, unless at some point there's a deathbed confession of some sort.
Right.
But that's largely prurient. Everything you need to know about what happened in that case and what happened to America as a result
and the context,
is already right there.
The context that created it as well.
The documentary is fascinating. If you're looking for a little bit more couch friendly...
FX.
Yeah. Great. With Cuba Gooding Jr. and Marcia Clark. Who played Marcia Clark?
Sarah Paulson.
She's phenomenal, man. Yes. She was great. The guy who played Christopher Darden in that was great.
Mm-hmm.
What a moment in time that really was. I mean, I remember talking to Ralph back in the day when we would discuss a little radio, and he would always tell me, like, Damon, the two greatest stories of my entire life was Joe versus Steve. And then the OJ trial. It's too bad you weren't around for either. So, yeah, 25 years, though. I mean, God. Like, that's a quarter century. That's a long time in a human's life. And it's amazing that this is a 25-year anniversary of that. It feels like yesterday.
I'm just getting to the point where 25 years ago is still very clear in my memory, and it's not fun.
No. Ray, 25 years ago, it's like Old Testament now, right?
25 years ago, I was 70.
Hey, thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Thank you to everyone who gave us a call. Thank you to the Mikes, Mike Irvin and Mike Breen, for joining us. We want to thank everyone who got the show up and on the air today. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Spencer. Albie, as always, thank you. Matt Kolsky, Ray Ratto, thank you. Thanks, all of you, for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from Oracle Arena. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.